In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each year, on the first Sunday of Christmas, we've had Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and now we have the first Sunday in Christmas, we read this passage from the Gospel of John, the prologue to John, as it's often called. And in part, we do this to remind us that there's more to Christmas than just the sentimentalness of a baby in a manger. It's more than just goodness and kindness and feelings of love. As important as those are, it's more than that. That in Christmas, God breaks into God's creation. That the Word becomes flesh. Of the four Gospels, John was more than likely written last. Several generations, at least two, after the events of the life in Christ. And during that time, followers of Christ had an opportunity to meditate and contemplate and think about what it meant for Jesus of Nazareth to be Jesus the Christ. Mark's gospel was more than likely written first. And if all you ever read was Mark, you may not get the idea that Jesus was actually divine. It doesn't dig into it that deeply. As you go through the Gospels, and this is why we have more than one Gospel, they all give us different aspects of the story. It's in John's Gospel that we get the fullest understanding of Jesus as both being fully human and fully divine. And it starts right up front. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if that harkens back to Genesis, in the beginning, it's supposed to. That's the point. That Christ was there before anything else was. That the Son has always existed, is co-eternal with the Father. In some ways, I like the idea of Word better than Son. Son gives an idea of a hierarchy. There's the Father, there's the Son, sons obey fathers, and that kind of thing. That's not the way it works. The three persons of the Holy Trinity are co-equal, co-eternal, co-God. And so the Word of God is there from the beginning. Through him, all things were made. That the Son didn't begin to exist at some point in history. The Son always was. The Word has always been. And that aspect of God became human. That he didn't hold being equal to God as something to hold on to, as Paul writes in Philippians, but willingly gave that up to be a human being, to become enfleshed, to dwell among us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And that in and of itself would be enough, that God should deign to dwell with God's creatures. But more than that, in Jesus Christ, suffered for our sake. Didn't just have a happy life and dies quietly in bed, but was crucified, was tortured, was executed. So that we know that no matter what happens to us, God knows what it's like. And not in some ephemeral kind of way, but in a real physical kind of way. That God knows what it means to be a human being. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And yeah, it's sweet to think about babies and love and presents and all that kind of stuff. But the real miracle of Christmas is that God deigned to dwell among us. That God didn't just stay up on high somewhere, hurling down commandments, but became one of us. And because of that, adopts us as children. Eric and I have children three different ways. We're going for the trifecta. We have a biological child. We've adopted a child. We have foster children. Let me tell you something. It does not matter how you get into the family. Once you're there, you're family. And there's no difference among our children in how we feel about them and care about them and love them. And that's what's true about us and God. We may be adopted children, but children we are. By virtue of our baptism, we have been brought into God's family. And if we're children, we're not slaves, as Paul writes to the Galatians. We're heirs of God's kingdom. We're part of the family. I hope your families are as wonderful as my family, not just my immediate family, but the whole extended family. Last week, we all got together at Grace Center, and it was awesome. I mean, there was 25, 30 people there. And we were all together, and we enjoyed one another's company, and that sense of belonging and love was incredible. And I'm so sorry Erica was sick and missed it. And I hate even talking about it because it makes her feel so bad. But that's what we experience with God, as wonderful as our earthly families are, and I hope they are for you. How much more wonderful is it to be part of God's family? To be part of a family that seeks to love and serve God by loving and serving others. That can look beyond ourselves. And to know that we're part of something that transcends ages and generation and miles. That this spark of light was birthed in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And yet people have kept the light alive. So that here in Greenville, Mississippi, thousands of miles away, tens of centuries later, we still know the story of the love of God in Jesus Christ. That we're part of that story of love. And that we contribute our part to it. Now, yeah, 2,000 years from now, nobody's going to remember any of us. But still, we'll carry on the story. That story of the Word incarnate, that God dwelt among us and continues to do so, and has brought us into God's family as children. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.